Podcasting 2.0 for September 29th, 2023, episode 148. Flop out. Well, I'm kind of joshing a little bit. Even though we're recording this on a Thursday night on the 28th, it is the official boardroom that meets outside of office hours. That's right, Podcasting 2.0 here to talk about everything happening at podcastindex.org, all about the namespace and, of course, all the goings-on at podcastindex.social. I'm Adam Curry, here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama. He knows more about Rust than Sanford and Son. Say hello to my friend on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Jones.
So literally like 1 minute ago, Brian of London posted on podcastindex.social, going to court in 15 minutes in Australia to hear the judgment from our hearing in the crypto class action on February 2 out of 3 this year. I don't know what that means. So, like, in 15 minutes, he's going to be hearing the judgment from this lawsuit that's been going on for like my entire life.
Right. You know, he's going to be a billionaire by Friday. By Saturday, yeah.
Yes.
This is the one. This is the one where he gets rich. I know. I'm so excited for him.
Well, he says, listen in if you want. Microsoft Teams, mute your mic and cameras before you
Oh, man, I can't believe we scheduled a board meeting on this particular day. Can you believe it?
Yeah, I know. We're competing with the judge in a billion-dollar lawsuit.
A multi-billion-dollar lawsuit. Somehow I have the feeling there'll be some kind of postponement. Seems like there's always something going on with that.
If you are a billionaire, Brian, I expect at least a donation.
Yeah. Yeah. An Israeli billion donation.
Yes.
$1,948,000.
Yes. That's a good start. Mm-hmm. Good start.
Hey, brother. How you doing?
Good. We haven't had a late night boardroom in a long time.
Long time. Yeah. It's totally my fault. I'm speaking in Houston this weekend and leaving tomorrow. Actually leaving at noon, so I would have... It really conflicted. I tried to change it up. Didn't work. And this is the Spark Ignite conference in Houston.
Okay. But you're at home now.
Oh yeah. No, I'm home now. Yeah.
Okay. And the Spark thing, that's the Christian podcaster conference, right?
It's the Godcaster conference.
So that's where all the Godcasters get together.
I don't know all of them, but a lot of them. Yeah.
Cool.
I know Dave Jackson's going to be there. Because I'm doing a panel with him.
I think Blueberry goes down there.
I know Blueberry's sponsoring it. It's kind of cool because, you know, okay. I've never done a keynote.
Boardroom after dark.
Hi, Eric PP. I've never done a keynote for a podcast conference, if you can believe it.
Wait, I thought you did the Go Podcasting.
No, 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 no. Go Podcasting was the podcast awards where I won. The only award I've ever won is the audio production award.
Wait, you've never had like a you invented podcasting. Here's an award.
I'm in the Hall of Fame. I guess that counts. But what?
Yeah, I guess.
But the first podcast conference was the New Media Expo. And it was really, originally it was, I think they had done a couple of years of this New Media Expo before podcasting existed. Mm-hmm. And, I guess it was, you know, like MP3 players or something. I don't really remember what it was, but then that became the podcast conference. So the New Media Expo in California, I want to say in Orange, California, Orange County, something like that. Oh, Ontario. California is a weird idea, but it's Ontario. And
Orange County's, that's LA and all that. Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a little bit outside LA. And so the organizers, and I had Podshow at the time. We had raised some money to start this podcast network. And the organizers said, hey, man, you want to do a keynote? I said, well, I mean, yeah, I guess. I mean, I guess I was around for the creation of this thing, so why not? I said, mm-hmm. Great. You need to send us $20,000 for a gold sponsorship.
No.
Yeah, that's exact. And I'm like, well, what are you talking about? Well, you just raised money. You should support the community. I'm like, no, I'm not supporting the community. I'm supporting your conference. And it got really weird. Like, well, you know, yeah, I mean, you're going to do the keynote and... And this is where I learned exactly how these conferences work. It's like you buy a gold sponsorship and then you get keynote. And like, no, we're not going to do that. I mean, we just raised money to build this. And we hadn't raised all of our money. We had raised, I think, $12 million, which is not a little bit of money, but we didn't have, you know, 20, maybe it was 25 grand in the budget. Like,
yeah, for that.
For that. I mean, but isn't it enough that I'm coming to speak? Won't that bring people to your conference? And so it became so weird that we actually went down there and did an unconference at the pool.
Oh, this is the unconference that you told me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And of course, after that, I was never invited for a keynote, but also I refused. Like, why would I pay to speak? It makes no sense. And so the only other time I spoke at a podcast conference was the horrible one we did in Dallas, where they stuck us in a back room during lunch, gave us no promotion.
That's your podcast hall of fame. That's what it gets you. The podcast hall of fame, or stick him in the back room during lunch break.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, and like, no, and these people were so nice. Actually came through Rob Kirkpatrick, who is one of the guys over there at Focus on the Family, which is huge. Focus on the Family. And they must have like 15 million people listening to their podcast. And he's an advisor for this conference. It's not big. I think it's 200 people, maybe 300 people. And he said, hey, man, could I interest you? And so I said, let me check it out, see what's going on. And, you know, like, yeah, I'll do this. And it's like a dinner keynote. They do have some awards. I'm not quite sure exactly what's going on with that. But I could do that. I can swing that. It'll be kind of fun. And, you know, so Tina's coming because she's a podcaster. She's a godcaster. And we're bringing our pastors, Annette and Jimmy. They're podcasters too.
Everybody's a podcaster. Well, you're a podcaster. You're a podcaster.
So they're nominated for best new podcast. Best new.
No way.
Yeah.
They're killing it. But they're killing it on Fountain. I still have not heard a single episode, but they are killing it on the Fountain charts.
Oh man, they're always in the chart, or almost always. You know, I mean, it's if you look at that chart, like we're in it. Podcasting 2.0. Curing the Keeper gets in there. No Agenda gets in there. But so does Living Up in a Down World. Yeah, they're doing good.
I'm real good. I'm bringing it up right now. Hot
on Fountain. So the whole idea for me is I want to get all of these godcasters on Value for Value. I want to get, I want them to start thinking about how do we get worship music into, that's a Christian for band. Worship. Yeah.
Yeah. It's Christian for band. Yes. In the faith, you have to learn all the Christian words that mean other words. Yes.
What's really weird is, these days they call it corporate worship music, and that just sounds so wrong. I mean, corporate in this case, the corporate means, you know, like something you do together, like with the congregation. But to me, I hear corporate, I'm like, oh, that's commercial corporate, like corporations.
No, when I hear corporate worship music, I envision those like Japanese city companies that where they all have they have like fight songs and everything. You know? You're Sony, we love you.
Hi, Sony. Yeah, yes. So that's not it. And I want to, you know, this is my Value for Value pitch. My keynote is on the future of podcasting. Well, just so happens we've been developing that.
This is a good topic. So I don't listen to Christian podcasts. I listen to a podcast. I guess I do listen to one, what you might call Christian podcast. It's called Lords of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. It is an Orthodox podcast, but, quote unquote Christian podcasts, how do they make money? Are they mostly hanging off of another ministry, or do they do advertisements?
I really don't know. I don't think I have a feeling there's not much advertisements going on. It could be, I could be completely wrong. They may do Patreon or donations. I really don't know, but I mean, the pitch for Value for Value is so, I mean, it fits so well in value. I mean, this is literally send value when you want, what you want. It's like tithing in a way, only it doesn't have to be 10%, just send whatever value you want. And the cool thing is that we can finally get music in there. I'd say that's what I'm most excited about is the Value for Value music stuff.
You know, we remember we played that clip a while back of a buddy of mine who interviewed a somebody who's deep in the Christian music industry, and that guy said a majority of Christian music is now owned by non-Christian entities.
Totally possible. Although there's a couple of big churches, one in Australia, and there's another one, Evertide, Everbright. There's a couple of churches who are really, they do a lot of the music, and they sell the stems, or, you know, I guess the multi-track, so that the worship team can play. And if they don't have a piano or keyboard, you can just bring that track up. No, I don't know if it's all not owned by Christian entities.
I wish I could find that clip.
Do you remember what would it have been titled?
I mean, it would have been Christian music or something along those lines. It would have had Christian in the title, because that
Christian music publishing ownership.
There you go.
Let's play it.
Do you happen to know, have you ever thought about who owns Christian publishing?
Yeah, it's my understanding that at this point, it's almost entirely been gobbled up by big corporate music conglomerates, and that it's really not owned or operated by the church in any way, shape, form, or fashion, and that it's just a money-making. It's just another stream of revenue for them.
But I'll give you a rundown, because I just did a quick Google search, and this has been going on since...
By the way, if this is the state of Christian podcast today, we have work to do. I mean, what is this, on a memo recorder?
Probably. I did not vouch for the quality, only the content.
The early 90s, if not the 80s, that corporations ran this. So you would start with things like Word Publishing, and that would get gobbled up. I remember they had it's been 20-something years ago, but the president of Word Music was not a Christian. And I don't know who is now. But so I looked at some artists like Chris Tomlin, Hillsong United, Hillsong Worship, Michael W. Smith, David Crowder. That is run by Capitol Music Group, who's owned by Universal Music Group, formed by a merger of EMI Christian Music Publishing and Brentwood Benson Music Publishing. They're headquartered in the Netherlands. Universal is owned by a French company called Vivendi and a Chinese tech company called Tencent. And I think anybody that wants to go just a little further will find some very surprising things. And I think if we start at the top, you may.
Okay. It ends there, I guess.
Okay.
Elevation. Yeah. Elevation is what I was thinking of. And they do tours, Elevation Worship. They do big tours. They have all the publishing, all the songs, and I'm talking like, you know, 20,000 people, 20, 30,000 people at a time. This is big stuff, but I think they are from a church. But you know, and they may all have distribution through big labels. It doesn't really matter. I mean, whatever is fine. I think just the whole, I would say if anything, what I love most about Value for Value, particularly if you're not out to monetize it per se, but the fact that you can see that someone is listening, you know, the streams that come in, the streaming payments, and what we're seeing is it works really well with living up in a down world where they have, you know, they've kind of built a little community with the Boostergrams. There's a lot of Boostergrams going on there.
Did they play music on that show?
No, not yet. No, okay. The only Christian worship music we have is one Dorfels kid.
Ben, J-Dog.
J-Dog. I love J-Dog, man. J-Dog is excellent. I love me some J-Dog. Now, Ben Dorfels.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so I'm looking forward to that. That'll be fun. I think it'll be an interesting crowd. I know for sure, if you recall when we were at Podcast Movement, I think it might have been the Focus on the Family guys, but there's some deplatforming going on. You know, they don't really want Christians, you know, necessarily to show up at the conferences because, you might be a little polarizing towards the other participants.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, literally some Christian podcasters have been uninvited from podcast conferences. Because, yes, if you're a Christian, if you ask Christian questions or something, that could trigger some of our other more sensitive participants.
Yes. This is a thing that's very much going on. It's what's funny is how much of this sort of censorship out of podcasting is going on that you don't hear about. Like,
right.
That it's not public.
Well, that's the beauty of censorship. Once you censor somebody, they can't really talk about it.
Yeah, I thought me and you had a conversation this week on Signal about there was somebody else that we were like, yep, self-censoring. You can just see, maybe it's Glenn Greenwald we were talking because
I'm glad you bring this up. No, this was about Rumble. Actually, it was a continuation. I do have a clip. Hold on. I have a clip to share. What we were talking about in the last episode was, they're going after platforms and they're doing it by going after advertisers. And the BBC is now participating in it, going around and sniffing around podcast, I guess, hosting companies to see, you got any ads going on there for, Russell Brand? The insinuation is we're doing a story, and just like the guy from Barstool Sports, Dave Portnoy, we're doing a story about people who advertise on Russell Brand. Are you still advertising on that horrible man's podcast? That's the basic idea.
And you have 5 minutes to respond. We got a deadline by one.
Exactly. So here's a clip from the News Movement, and they are a news organization, thenewsmovement.com. I'm not exactly sure who's funding them, but they don't have any ads, but there's a lot of people on staff. And this is the report that they put out about Russell Brand and Rumble.
Massive brands, including Burger King, ASOS, London's Barbican Centre and HelloFresh, have pulled advertising from Russell Brand's Rumble channel.
Three of the companies removed their ads from Rumble altogether after the News Movement found they were appearing alongside Brand's videos.
Burger King has paused advertising on Brand's channel while broadcasters and police look at claims of rape and sexual assault against him. Brand has a huge audience on Rumble with over 1.4 million followers. There's been concern about the increasing discussion of conspiracy theories on his videos. Ooh. The comedian's been accused of rape and sexual assault against four women. He denies the claims.
TNM approached other brands, including Ralph Lauren, eBay, and Hilton Hotels, whose ads all appeared on Brand's channel, but none of them replied to requests for comment.
YouTube suspended ads from the channel on their site for allegedly violating creative policies, and the BBC's removed some shows Brand made while working there. Burger King said the company had paused all advertising while investigations into the allegations are ongoing. ASOS declined to comment, but TNM understands the company removed their ads this week. HelloFresh said, thanks for pointing this out to us. We have manually removed our ads from Rumble. The Barbican said, we've now asked our media agency to exclude this site from where our ads appear.
Rumble has said it doesn't plan to remove ads from Brand's content altogether, but it hasn't replied to requests for comment. Google and Brand himself have yet to reply to us either.
So you see what they're doing.
They missed the perfect opportunity to say that Brand is accused of a whopper of an accusation. Ah! I'm disappointed.
Yeah. So that's how it works. And they are clearly, I mean, my God, the woman, the MP who sent the note to the Rumble CEO.
Dame.
Yeah, whatever, Dame.
Lestrange or whatever. Yeah.
Yes. So her husband was in the, Unit 77 or something, which is the PSYOPs warfare unit of the British military, who also did all the COVID stuff. So these people are serious. I mean, these are serious people who want Russell Brand gone, and they're going to take down Rumble or anybody else if they have to. And so Glenn Greenwald, that's what our conversation was about. He switched from Substack to Locals, and Locals, I believe, was acquired by Rumble. And Rumble has secondary currency. They have stock, which is not under $2 like a podcast one.
Yeah, you're right.
Although it's not far from it. They open a lot. They've gone down significantly.
Don't invest in Rumble. How about that? Let's just say that.
No, I mean, I wouldn't give any stock advice, but
no.
None of this seems like a really good idea. There's just not a lot of belief in the market. Actually, did you hear the new media show?
I heard most of it. They kind of wandered at the end, so I bailed out. But I heard a lot of it.
Well, the wandering.
They were talking about the advertising.
Yeah.
Somebody contacted them about skimming or something.
Well, there was that part that, you know, Todd is all. I love Todd. Like, yeah. I can't talk about it. There's stuff going on, and maybe soon I'll let you know. You know, it's like, but here's. And I didn't really put this all together because it was talking. So it's all about measurement. And I guess someone is out there trying to do a story and figure out if podcast companies are overstating download numbers. That's just my cursory understanding of what he was saying. However, amidst that pops up that the news story that Acast was no longer going to work with Spotify's numbers, with Spotify's audience numbers or whatever. I guess they have some service.
And yeah, they're I think it's the stuff that backs Megaphone and their that kind of thing.
Right. And now they announced the partnership, which was on last week's Pod News Weekly Review. Of course, we haven't heard this week's Pod News Weekly Review because we're taping this Thursday evening. So you know, we don't have our show prep. But, you know, they had the guy from Acast on, and it was all sold under the guise of, oh, we only do open systems, you know, open this, and has to be open. And what the company that they work with, who, you know, maybe they'll acquire, I guess they do attribution. What's the name of the company, Dave? Look at Pod News Weekly.
Podscribe.
Is it Podscribe?
I think so.
You know, they do pixel tracking or something else. And so they basically do numbers and let the advertiser know how the ad performed.
Yes. And Acast announces Podscribe as global preferred attribution partner.
Right. But they refused to work with Spotify. And Todd said something that really made it all come together in my head. He said, you know, Spotify actually has real numbers. They know exactly how many people have listened. They know what they listen to, how long they listen to it. So their numbers are going to be much more accurate than downloads because they track everything in the player. So my simple conclusion is that Acast, who, you know, they do ad-based, you know, media, they either don't want Spotify's numbers because they're much less than they're reporting, or maybe more, whatever it is not the same as what they're reporting. And I suspect that Spotify's numbers show people aren't really listening. They're listening to a little bit, you know, maybe it's half a show. I'm thinking there's trouble in paradise. And then I hear Todd and Rob like, oh yeah, well, we had all that fixed. You know, we had it all fixed with IAB and now it's all complicated and we're back, you know, 15 years in time. This thing is breaking apart. This download based metric for advertising is falling apart.
I think you're exactly right. You could see this coming down Broadway. I mean, because the attribution. Do you have my clips from last week? I don't know if I clipped the attribution. Do I have a clip from last week that has anything to do with attribution?
Attribution. Hold on a second.
So there's this podcast called.
Are you sure it was last week? Because you had Podcast One stuff.
It was there was a thing from Media Roundtable.
Oh yes, I do. I have it. Media Roundtable DAI fail.
That's not it. You could play that, but that's not it. Go ahead.
In working with an ad agency or a partner on this type of work for your advertising campaigns, go to oxfordroad.com. It's easy to spell. And get in touch with us, or at least just sign up for our free newsletter, The Influencer. That's Oxford Road.
Okay. I get it. Fail.
this is DAI. This is dynamic ad insertion. So this is from a podcast called Media Roundtable, put on by Oxford Road, which is a advertising, you know, agency.
Mm-hmm.
They help people with their podcast advertising. So you could say that this podcast, they are also on the Podcast One network. So mm-hmm. okay. if that tells you anything, mm-hmm. so you could say that this podcast should be to digital advertising as podcasting 2.0 is to podcast namespace features.
Right.
It should be the crown jewel of demonstrating what is possible and the quality of advertising that you can get.
But you'd expect it to be primo,
but yeah. They cut off their own dynamic ad halfway through the read. And right in the middle of telling people where to go, if they're interested in the product. So it was like, you know, go to Oxford.
Yeah, that kind of shows.
So but this show, they also had this long, and I list this, I'm sure the people are nice there, but this show is very boring. I listened to a lot of it, and they have this, they had this panel at some conference. I didn't quite pick up what conference this was, but it was a panel on all kinds of digital advertising people that were, and one of the panels was on, attribution. And they were talking about using, different forms of attribution to track advertising success.
Mm-hmm.
And basically every version to make, I'll clip it and bring it next week, but every version of it was some roundabout where it's like, well, this is what we do and this is what we've been doing and there's how we do it. And, here's what we, you know, have our experiences have been, but really, actually it doesn't work. It was all like at the very end, there was a caveat of, you know, but it really doesn't work anyway. So this house of cards that's been built on IP attribution, like one lady was saying that they use one of the, you know, they use tracking pixels mm-hmm. and they use these creepy IP address
sniffers
trackers. IP brokers. That's what, like these IP address brokers.
Yeah, they can connect it to your credit card.
Uh-huh. And they try to connect the traffic coming from your IP address from a download over back over to where you bought something on, you know, some makeup on Ulta Beauty's website or something. All of this is just a completely flimsy house of cards. Nobody can attribute correctly. It's all a lie. Every bit of it. None of this surprises me at all. I think you're exactly right. There's lots. There might not be outright willing. Fraud. But there is a lot of people that understand that the numbers are very squishy.
Yeah, and they vary from podcast hosting company to podcast hosting company. It's a mess. And it's also not. It's not a really great way to do it. It's just never been a great way to do it. It never has. Yeah. And there's all kinds of reasons for it, which we don't have to delve into it. So they came up with the standard, the IAB, and everyone had to get certified. But then I think Spotify really came in and ruined it because, you know, no one has, you know, time spent listening numbers except that are really accurate, you would presume, except Spotify. And, you know, because they're not basing it off of player data. And they're selling the ads into that player data. And so they have something that is, I think, is unique. And it's a real problem. And I would say that is probably the reason why we got the, oh, no, we have to be open and we don't like the closed nature of Spotify. I'm questioning that now. I don't want to accuse anybody, but for sure there's disparity here. And that's what Todd, love him for it. Because Todd just, we call him in the old country a flop out.
What does that mean?
Flop out. he just flops something out, you know. It's like, oh, what flopped out of Todd's mouth there? Hold on a second, let me listen to that.
This is a great thing about the Dutch language, is many times the words are just slightly altered versions of English words. It's flop out.
Yeah. F-L-A-P-U-I-T. Flop out. So it'd be flop out. Flop out. Yeah, exactly. A flop out. And there's nothing wrong with it, but it just, and I hear that, I'm like, hold on a second. That's an issue. Now, more news from the Netherlands.
Okay.
Podimo. So Podimo is another Swedish company. I guess they raised about 150 million euros. And, you know, they've been going around Europe and buying up podcasts and podcast networks and putting it all behind a paywall. €5 a month.
That's a great idea.
And a whole bunch of Dutch podcasters, this was a newspaper article, a whole bunch of Dutch podcasters sold into them, whatever that means. I hope they got paid, I don't know, or got some kind of guarantee. And so they all went behind a paywall. And lo and behold, there's no way to get more Dutch people to listen to the podcast because they have no discoverability. So they wound up doing this like a tent on a market square where they were doing their podcast live, trying to get people to sign up and subscribe. And so they literally had to go to the people live and in person to have people discover them. And they were interviewing people, said, oh, you know, when they went behind the paywall, yeah, I just went on Spotify, found some other podcast that was kind of cool. I like that one. And, you know, yeah, but you know, now maybe I'll subscribe to them again now that I hear them. They were pretty good. I like their rants and stuff. But this is the biggest problem. And this is when you then get into, well, here's some premium stuff here, but you know, we'll give you a little bit of give you a little taste here. It doesn't work. Discoverability has to be open and available. And so I'm just thinking how flawed this model really is. Is they go out and they get all these popular podcasts. I'm going to be very generous. Let's say you get 30%, like give them 10 times value for value. Let's say you get 30% of people who are listening to a podcast for free with ads or not, who then say, okay, I'm going to sign up for €5 a month and I'll get this podcast and a whole bunch of other ones. That's probably a decent conversion rate. Then what? How do you grow it? You advertise in the paper? You know, yeah. I mean, how do you grow it? How do you grow something that has been a popular show? I understand taking a popular show behind the paywall, but that's it. You can only kind of go down. Yeah, you might get some people who come in from other shows. I just don't see the multiplier after that. How do you create discoverability behind a paywall?
So here's an interesting, okay, this makes me think of something, and it ties in with what you were talking about a while ago. Imagine let's do a thought experiment and say that the Obamas, I forgot what that Michelle Obama podcast was called, the one that was exclusive to Spotify. The
Michelle Obama podcast. Well, they should have called it that if they didn't.
Okay. Well, imagine that her show started out on open RSS, on RSS feeds, and not as an exclusive in Spotify. What would the download numbers have been like? Where would it have ranked in the charts? In these rankers, I'm thinking that it would have ranked pretty high.
I think so too. They would have gotten a lot of heat. A lot of people would have been sampling it out for sure. They only had Spotify to rely on. They did open it up when they couldn't fill the inventory.
Yeah. And so based on your theory, if it had been a RSS podcast distribution and not on Spotify, then the numbers would have been artificially high in RSS world, and it may not have gotten canceled necessarily as soon as it did. But because Spotify can see actual numbers for a show like that, real numbers, not fake download numbers, they saw that this show actually was not being listened to, and so they cut it. They cut it loose.
Yeah, that's possible. I mean, I think it came down to the timing of it was just all financial. You know, they'd spent so much money, nothing was working. There was nothing was coming back. I think the Obamas are arrogant. You know, much like the Markles. Yeah. You know, the Harry and Meghan. I think they, you know, just arrogant, and you know, but it was what, $20 million or whatever. And
bad example. So let's take. Do you remember that other show that? Let's break up. The name of, I think that's the name. Let me see if I can find it in the index. I think it was called Let's Break Up. Maybe not. Let's see. It was a show that Spotify bought,
mm-hmm.
and took it exclusive, even though that's what that. No, Just Break Up. I think that's what it was mm-hmm. called. Yeah, there it is. Just Break Up. So they. Yeah, okay, this is what I thought. Okay, so it was called Just Break Up. They got bought. This was early on during us doing this show, maybe the first year of our show.
Mm-hmm.
And we played clips of it, and because it was, you know, it was all funny because they were doing the Spotify pitch at the time, which was tell everybody that they don't need a credit card to sign up for the app.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I do remember this. Yes.
So they did that for like 2 months, and then they went exclusive. They are now not exclusive anymore. They have gone back to RSS.
Huh.
And so this again fits in with what you're saying. If they're what these shows that have seemingly big download numbers, and then they get brought into the Spotify ecosystem where Spotify can see actual statistics on how people are listening, and they see that the numbers are actually dreadful. Then, you know, compared, maybe not dreadful overall, but dreadful compared to what they were supposed to be.
I think you're going to see, they probably touted, I'm just guessing, we're just guessing here. They probably touted all these great statistics, including time spent listening. And that's where they lost it. That's where people went, you know, the people only listen to 10 minutes or half an hour or an hour of this 2 hour show. And, you know, you know, I think it has something to do with that.
That's a good point. Yeah. The time spent listening was probably way low.
Yeah.
People bail out. They'll listen to a little bit and then bail out, and they don't actually get any ads because they bail.
Possibly.
And so they can't satisfy.
They can't get the inventory. Whereas if you have downloads, well, I mean, downloaded, of course they heard it. Of course.
It's binary. You either have a download or you don't. You
exactly.
Know?
Like, exactly. And so all of this to say that, and I'm really sorry. I mean, I'm not dancing on anybody's grave here. And I tried it and it didn't work. And I know all the pitfalls, so I know why it's difficult. And it, you know, it's just coming apart at the seams. We had a real beautiful moment. 2019, Joe Rogan signs with Spotify, big money, everyone's all jacked. This is great. Pandemic. Everyone's and actually listening went up, and creation of podcasts went up, and more big names are signed, and it's all exciting and it's all fabulous. And then out comes the, as expected, the numbers that Spotify could not monetize. I mean, they couldn't make a profit. They could not make a profit off of this idea, which was, let's get all these exclusives. Let's, you know, let's do a hits based record company where we're the record company, the radio station, and the store. You know, it has never worked that way with podcasts. And then moving forward, this was, look, I understand that YouTube wants to, you know, incorporate podcasts, but to close your podcast app? What?
Yeah, I have some thoughts on this. Like, look, Google just hates RSS. They always hate RSS.
Yes, yeah, because it is the only real competitor to what they do.
You can't. Google, my opinion, this lawsuit, that they're going through now.
The anti-competitive lawsuit.
And then Brian, you know, Brian of London, they'll finish them off, but
they're going down.
But the anti-competitive lawsuit is exposing a lot of stuff. That's not that digital advertising market is not a healthy market overall.
Correct.
For them. I mean, it works in traditional media because of the, you know, like you said many times, because of, limited ad space.
Yeah. You can create artificial demand because you only have 24 hours in a day per channel. And
so what the thing that came out in the lawsuit quickly during discovery was that Google had been jacking up the ad rates to meet their quarterly stock, to meet their quarterly revenue targets. And so if they needed an extra little juice of revenue,
twiddle the dials.
Yeah. Turn it up another 8% on their, because they're basically a monopoly in the search ad business. And so this is all coming out. You can't do that in RSS. You can't do those things. It's low revenue to begin with. Mm-hmm. They've never really had a revenue play. And so to me, they're circling the wagons, not just on podcasting, but on all of their products, really the whole Google ecosystem. They're now building higher walls to keep their revenue in. So that, like YouTube, if people think that Apple is going to put a podcast app on Android, that's crazy.
So hilarious every single time I hear that. No,
it is not happening.
No, they want people to use their devices. And, you know, yes. Apple still has a great rep for it. You know, here's a podcast app. It comes with your iPhone. People, oh, okay.
And so they're not going to lift a finger, spend a dime on podcasting, on anything that's based on RSS. Because all they want to do is just funnel you into YouTube so that they can monetize it and bring it into their wall. They get no benefit from RSS. They don't. This is not the fact that they cancel Google Podcasts is not a surprise. They don't care, and they never have.
And it's still baffling to me that they're putting, I mean, they looked at Spotify and said, wow, that worked really well. Let's put podcasts into our music app.
Yeah.
I do not understand that. And, you know, and as far as I can tell from their blog post, which is, of course, everyone's running around like, oh, is what Google's doing this. Google doesn't talk to anybody, doesn't give interviews, doesn't tell anybody actually what's happening. Certainly not in the podcasting community.
I think, you know, it's funny enough. I forgot who this was. This has been a couple of years ago. Somebody was making a comment about Google. It may have been Paul Theriot. Whoever this was, were saying that nobody really knows what's going on over there anymore. I think it was him who said that, in his opinion, they made so much money so fast. Because, I mean, they really were the first true tech unicorn. Mm. And... But I mean, before Apple came, yeah. You know, before Apple came back. And so they made so much money so fast that they just lost their way. They don't know what to do. They don't really, nobody's in charge. You know, I don't think they look like a headless ship 90% of the time.
They feel and like I, it. That's for sure.
Yeah. And this is just another, they were never going to do anything with RSS anyway, but just like stepping back even further and just looking at them as a company. If I think out 10 years, I think Google looks, I think they just look like a search engine. I'm not sure anything else that they do.
A bad search engine because it only plugs stuff that is advertised. I mean, it's just true. You know, it's just true.
It's looking like Alta Vista.
Yeah.
More and more every day.
Yeah, and that's what Google blew out of the water.
And now it's turning back into that.
So the next issue with YouTube music and podcasting, which is the topic everyone's talking about. It's here. It is top of pod news with the closure of the app. He's like, well, will they have pass through? Yeah, dream on.
That ain't happening.
Dream on. No. You're going to get no numbers from Google.
Yeah.
Because Google has their own special metric, which is, 3 seconds was listened to. Yeah, that's a listen.
Yeah. Well, on Spotify, it's 20 milliseconds or whatever that is.
It's like, I mean, no. So it's just a non-starter. And again, I wonder, where is the $2 billion? I mean, $2 billion, that has to be just a, like, maybe, is that 50 podcasts that somehow are responsible for this? I mean, I hear numbers like, oh, they have, 500,000 downloads a month. Well, crap, I got that.
Yeah. Are you, how many billions did you make this year, Adam?
0.000, like I'm in Satoshi's level. Millisats.
So I think, like, if we just look at podcasts, they're legitimately worth what their deal was. I mean, to me, Joe Rogan actually is the only one I can think of that probably drives enough revenue to justify the deal he got.
I have no idea. I hear the spots for some reason, even though I pay for Spotify, I get the Joe Rogan ads. And especially if you watch the video, they stop every couple of minutes and the video goes away and you get it. And all I hear is Joe. You often maybe it's all localized, but I get local Austin companies and I'm not necessarily getting, I'm not hearing BMW.
No.
You know what I mean? But he was very important for the stock price. He did great for the stock price. I mean, if you look at their chart, it's very suppressed right now compared to what it was. But I mean, he added billions of dollars of market cap and thus, perceived value to the company.
And I think I don't think they can get out from under that. I think the next time when he comes up for renewal, I think they re-up that show. Because if they lose him, it will have an equally down pressure on that stock price. It will tank. Surely it will tank.
You know, this is something that I don't discuss with Joe.
Right.
Man, I'm kind of pissed off. He sent me a text today. Hey, do you want to race cars at the racing track on Monday?
Yeah, you do. The answer is always yes, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm already committed to some stuff, so I can't. Like, it's the worst thing. It's like,
dang it!
Hey, we can race real racing cars. Come hang out. I'm like, oh, I have a feeling, and I've based this on nothing, but I think, I mean, he's got to be up for renewal soon. I have a feeling that he'll do whatever. Well, first of all, he can do whatever he wants. I think he loves the relationship. It doesn't matter how much or how little money. Maybe they only give him the ads. I don't know. I don't think he cares. He wants to have this market. He loves doing it. At this point, he really doesn't have to work for money, obviously. But, I think he only had to deliver like 3 shows a week, and he does 5. He says, I love it. I just love it. I just love having all the guests here. I love talking to everybody. So I don't think they'll renew it to that. I mean, no one really actually knows the numbers, Everyone's like, oh, it's 100 million, 200 million. I've heard 300 million. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. And Joe and I just don't talk business that way. I would never ask. It's rude. I don't care. He seems happy. That's all I care about.
And I would think, I guess let me say it this way. Regardless of actual numbers, I think he's worth more to them now than he was when they first signed him.
They never talk about him. That's the thing. He's never in a press release. They never talk about him. He's never in any campaigns for investors or otherwise. That's the part that makes me question what you're saying. It's like,
if the headlines hit that Joe Rogan leaves Spotify.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. That would be a problem.
Stock gets massacred.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially if you have, if Google Music, if they said, hey, Joe, come over here. I don't know. I have no idea. It doesn't really matter because that's, he's an anomaly. That's something that's, you know, he's a some crazy force of nature. And I don't think we'll ever see anything like that again. But it's also not what, you know, the, what podcasting is. Podcasting is what we're doing. Podcasting is, you know, what is, you know, it's going to be your little group. We have to get over this number one ranker type of mentality.
Right.
It's like, what do you need to do what you do? That's, for me, that's no agenda. I mean, we keep doing it. People keep sending value. We've built it up over, it'll be 16 years in October. I do a lot more stuff, but I'd be perfectly happy if that's all I did in my life. Because I have a dog, I have a wife, you know, the kids are okay. You know, if they need a couple bucks, to, you know, they can't make the rent, I can help them out. That's life. That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I don't have to worry about staff.
Staff. Nobody wants to worry about staff.
So
that's not fun.
And that to me is what podcasting is so beautiful at. Yeah. And so I don't need to make a pitch for value for value, but you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, I totally do. And that's a great, and that's a perfect thing for the Spark, you know, for Christian podcasters. Cause most of them, I would imagine 99% of Christian podcasters are not doing it for a business. They're doing it because they enjoy it and because it's something they want to do for some reason in their life.
They want to do it for God, I guess. But we got who sent this? Dovidas, who's listening. RSSBlue.com, everybody. 15,000 sats. He says, talk to a church that does a... I guess he has a client, maybe. Talk to a church that does a prayer podcast. Even V for V is difficult because you need to ask for value, which may ruin the experience, similar to RSS music. We need ways to ask for value outside of the episodes themselves. So there's a couple things there. So one, I disagree. Church passes around a plate or a basket or a bucket or whatever, and
a bucket.
And there is an implicit ask. And what I love about value for value is the boostograms. It's the feedback mechanism. You give people responses to their boostograms. I've heard Pastors Jimmy and Annette do it. I hear them do it. And it was hard for them. So they're not really saying, hey, pay our rent, which I've never done on no agenda either necessarily. I said, all I know, I can do, keep doing the show if I can pay my rent. And RSS music, I think we've cracked that code. The artists don't have to ask for it. The podcasters do it for them. I am literally shilling for the artists. And to me, it's great value. I get a little piece, but I also get to do a show with music. Thank you for letting me play your music. Now people go and support them. I'm not a big believer in... And from there, I think people, you know, like the way Fountain does, you subscribe. They don't quite do it that way, but I think Fountain should make it that way. Or every app should make it that way. Here's the songs played in this show. Now you can easily subscribe to this artist. And then when the artist adds something, it should pop up just like a new episode does. Oh, there's new music from the Dorfels, which would be every hour. And then I still have my streaming number set. So when I'm listening, I'm streaming. And if I dig a track, I'll boost it. And then, we already have the Stephen B's Emporium of apps. Has the reply to system already set up. We don't have, but you know, I can see this working. I can see reply tos, so the artist can reply to you through the boostagram mechanism. This is a beautiful thing. So, it's, you're going to do better with podcasts playing you and people discovering you and then subscribing to you, to your album, to you as an artist or whatever it is. Than you're going to do in any other system right now. You know, people just aren't making money on the music. They're making, I mean, hey, why is Beyonce still touring?
Because
she just loves it. Cause she loves it. No, because that's where the money is. Yeah.
That speaking of the, can we divert?
Yeah, sure.
Into top 100 talk for a second.
Are you kidding me? Top 100 talk is my middle name.
The top 100 has way more than 100.
Yes, and I realize why. Because you have so many ties. Is that correct?
Well, it's because... Let me pull it up.
We have almost 200 now. It's the top... Coming in at number 187 on the top 100 this week.
See, this is a problem.
I don't know if it's... I think it's hilarious. Sometimes I saw 97. I'm like, yeah, the top 100 has 97 entries this week.
So Ron Plouffe, third cousin married to David Plouffe of the Obamas.
Yes.
Conveyed to me that he said, this is going to become a problem. This top 100 is going to become more and more, is going to go way, way beyond top 100. If your entry floor into the top 100 is only one boost. So everybody, if you even get a single boost, you're in the top one, you know, you're in this chart. And because I did not give it a hard upper limit of,
well, I mean, can't you just say, 100 and 101 is you're not on the chart?
We could say 100. We could say that.
But unfortunately,
then numbers, there's lots of music. Go
ahead. Well, I was going to say number 90 through number 117. So that's 27 songs all have the same amount for four boosts.
Right.
That's where you run into trouble, I guess, because it's basically a tie.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he said the median number of boosts is still five, as it's been all week. Also, just as another reference point, the sum of the boosts for titles 101 through 195 only represent 12% of the sum of all the boosts in 1 through 195.
This math is hurting my brain. What does that mean?
It's 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah. What does this mean? What does this wicked math mean?
So he's saying that basically there's a... By the time you get to 101, the whole entire rest of the chart is only 12% of the total of boost counts. So the total number of boosts for the entire chart is 2,072, but 101 through 195 only covers 12% of that, which doesn't bother. See, this is the thing. It's like I don't necessarily, if I scroll down here to one, let's just say 154, maybe that's a great song.
Well, this is my point. I've never seen this as a gold star. To me, this is a discovery mechanism.
Yeah.
On Mondays, when I get ready to do Boost the Grand Ball, I go into a number of places, and one of them is definitely this top 1000. And I'm like, oh, I don't know this song. It got some boost. Click. I want to see what this is. Oh, I know what this is. Okay. This only has four boosts because it's, you know, it hasn't been played anymore for a while. So I understand why that's kind of going down. Now, the thing that I think is not a problem, but looks weird is, so numbers, no offense, TJ, numbers 92, 93, 94 is all Sir TJ the Wrathful. So that just looks, yeah, with the banjo. That just looks kind of weird on a chart.
It's because somebody went in there and boosted the album as they were listening to the track.
Yeah, no, I understand. Yeah. I understand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, I don't know, were there any number suggestions?
Number
100
freaks me out a bit. The chick in the mask, that's wigging me out a little bit.
George T. Drag.
Yeah.
So, what do we want to do about it? Anything? Nothing?
We don't do anything about anything, really, do we? Do we actually do things about things?
No, we don't do anything. We try not to. Okay. Let's not do any work. But did Plouffe have any suggestions?
He said focus hard on the South Carolina primary.
Okay, sure.
No, he didn't. No, he did not have any suggestions. I don't know. I think it's cool for now. I mean, I like having lots of stuff on this list. feels better to me to have, when there's lots of things on here, to me, that's more important than how many boosts anything gets.
Yeah.
Because it just shows the quantity of stuff. And all of this stuff has good album art. I don't know. This is just a good looking, this is an impressive list of the quantity of music that's available value for value now. And I like the feel of that.
I'm with you on that. Now I'm comparing to the Wavelake top 40.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm
how many does their top 40 have on it?
That's funny enough. 40.
Because some other people know what they're doing. We don't know what we're doing.
Well, no, they only can do a chart of music that's on Wavelake, and we got all the crazy people, everything mm-hmm. that's out there. So, you know, and Stephen B's App Emporium. I mean, there's a lot of self-hosted music. People are helping each other out. So here I see Skrilla Bobcat, which I now learned is actually Bobby Shell. How about that?
Oh, as a pen name, he's got a pseudonym.
No, it may just different. Hey, I think that's interesting, actually. Just one guy is multiple artists. So I look at the top three. Number one, Lying to You, Skrilla Bobcat. Number two, Paperboy featuring Skrilla Bobcat. Number three, Bobby Shell with a song I haven't even heard, Beefsteak and Tradwives. So now, let me see, how many sats does this have? 180,000 for the new Bobby Shell. Skrilla Bobcat number, let's see, that has 241. So what I'm smelling here is, because they're not, does it even show up? Let me see, Bobby Shell. Bobby Shell. So that new song hasn't even been played on podcasts. So
Beefsteaks and Tradwives?
Yeah.
It's in the index.
Oh, I'm sure it's in the index.
I see it. Yeah, I just pulled it up.
But now, if we look at Skrilla, now let's look at Skrilla.
Skrilla in Manila.
Skrilla has, okay, the top Skrilla, Lying to You, is currently number 28. So 19 boosts. Okay. That seems possible. So okay. I think what we're seeing here is exactly the problem we wanted to avoid, is that you can come in with a big baller boost and put someone on the top chart, which could stay there for weeks because you sent, mm-hmm. 500,000 sats. Right. Whereas the number of actual participating people, I find much more exciting. So if I look at Nate Jonovan, 169 boosts, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that Iroh in Exile, I know they're popular. I know that people are playing them. So it's two different things. But I like our chart. I go down this all the time. And then lnbeats.com from Stephen B's App Emporium.
Mm-hmm. The curio cabinet of apps, yes.
you throw that thing on random and off it goes, and it plays the whole top 100, 200 songs.
So we just renamed, it's a top 100. Maybe we just rename it to top 100 and something.
And something.
Yeah.
Top 100 and then some.
And then some and more. Yes. So one other thing about the chart, and then we can move on, is, it really feels odd to have this chart with all this that looks so nice and is telling you about all this music and not be able to listen to the music.
Yes, this is a very big problem. I agree. But I don't necessarily...
We don't want to be an app.
Exactly. I don't want us to be a destination. I love Stephen. That's why you made OPML and JSON and whatever versions.
So here, I've got an idea. What if we made it where you can just do like a sample, a little play button where you can hear like 10 seconds? Is that still not a good idea?
I don't like it, but I can't even tell you why. Okay. I mean, this to me is just, this is just a place where you can see it. I want people to go to ellenbeats.com. I want people to see the top 100. And by the way, maybe Ellen Beats chops it off at 100. Why doesn't Fountain show the top? I mean, I know why, but I would love to see it in Fountain. I'd love to see it in Podverse. I'd love to see it all over the place. I want it to be exported. I don't think the minute we start doing little bits and bobs, I think we just make trouble for ourselves. Because then, you know, you're doing that. Well, you might as well add the boost capability.
Nah, I don't want to.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't want to. Yeah, and so here, okay.
And well, I don't want to compete with the Stephen B. Emporium.
I don't want to compete with the apps either. And that's been like, that has been, competing with apps has been the, has been anathema to everything that we believe in since day one.
Yeah.
We will never compete with apps on this ground. So, but here's the issue. Right now, the link, if you click on a song, takes you to the podcast index.
Then you can listen there.
And you can listen and boost. That's not good. We want to push people to apps. And how do we send people to apps?
Well,
because without playing favorites too.
Right. I don't know how many people, I mean, we set this, the app, well, let's just stay with the app part.
Okay.
I think if anything, we did this for ourselves. You know, I just want, it's like, hey, what about this podcast? Okay, yeah, here it is. Let me listen a little bit. Okay, good. Just so I can find it, find the RSS feed, find out information about the split. I mean, I do not listen to podcasts on podcastindex.org. I may just check something out, but, you know, the play button is just there. And, you know, and because of value for value being new, and, you know, that's why the boost capability was added. And this is all kind of legacy stuff. But I would love nothing more than in the future to turn all that off. We should just shut down the website. just be an API.
Kill it.
It's a headless index.
Headless Drupal. We're going to run it on headless Drupal. So I agree. And the only thing that I think 90% of what people do with our website when it comes to boosts is, hey, if you don't have a podcasting 2.0 app, go boost us through the podcast index.
Yeah.
Like, it's a fallback.
Yeah. Yeah. But we've never promoted it per se.
No. But so how do we, I just don't like that it goes to our website, and I don't know how to make that not happen.
What goes to our website?
When you click on a song in the chart, I just feel like that should go to an app, and I don't know how. I don't know how to do that in a real way.
Instead of worrying about that, I would just prefer to focus. You know, Ellen Beats, great out of the gate. I tell people all the time on Boost a Grand Ball, go to ellenbeats.com. You can see everything there. I try not to, and I know I'm contradicting myself because I use the URL podcastindex.top. I don't even know if anyone's going there or not. I would prefer to not do anything and just help. We're not a destination. We're just not. Mm-hmm. We're not a destination for podcasts. We're not a destination for anything. And we haven't really positioned ourselves. So the fact that it's there to me is just part of our development. And what we want to encourage, and, you know, it's like people said, hey, you can get V4V music, dot music. I'm like, what am I going to do with that? I don't want to be V4V dot music. You can get music index doc. I don't want to be that. I want the apps and the services. That's what I want that to be. Not us.
Right.
Because before you know it, you know, then we have to do takedown requests and God knows what else. I don't want to have any part of that.
We build things that help other people build things that people use.
Now there's a bumper sticker. Podcast Index. We build things that help other people do things that they, what was it again?
It's bumper stickers are too big. It's wrapping around the side of the car.
It's a t-shirt. Podcast Index. We build things that other people use to build things that are cool that we like. Okay, something like
yes,
that.
Yes, something like that.
So for me, it was an interesting experiment to set this up. And we're not done yet because it's still development. It gives us a place to look and to feel. Okay, now we've identified some things like this top 100. Okay, it's a top 200 now. We're not quite sure what to do with it.
No, we're not stopping at 200. We're blowing the lid off. We're going to keep on going.
I mean, the easy thing to do is tighten up 7 days to 5 days, see what happens. Stuff will fall off quicker. But again, to me, this is development. This is not a product. The product needs to be built by the apps. And so we're just offering this and please do with it what you can. I mean, hosting companies should be ingesting this. Hey, here's a whole bunch of songs. You can see how popular they are. Play them in your podcast with the wallet switching technology.
Oh, Stephen B says, send the top 100 to the link in the feed. That's an option.
I don't understand.
If they have one.
To the link in the feed.
You know how you can use the link element in the RSS to link to your own, to the home page of the episode, so to speak.
I don't think we should spend another minute on the web page other than just what it is now. So we could just look at it as a development, like a console.
Yeah.
I mean, all these ideas, build it in your apps, people. How about this? Build an app.
we still don't have a name. We have PWAs. We have Ellen Beats and PodFans.
Yeah. Well, I have Ellen Beats. I have Ellen Beats as a PWA on my Windows desktop. It's beautiful.
No, I do too. I have it on my.
I have an icon right there on the desktop. Mm-hmm. And I go in it to see and see. Oh, well, here's all kinds of new radio shows. I got the Black Cat Music. I see I've been relegated to the bottom. Thanks, Stephen B. Booster Grand Ball all the way at the bottom. Let's see the top 100. The top 100 is also 192 on ellenbeats.com. But that's a sexy kind of thing. I mean that's where I think it needs to be. And Steven has nice little play buttons and you set up your wallet so that you can, stream, or I think I have it set up after you play the song, I send 1,000 sats. What is this little feedback? But oh, that's a loop button. Wallet. Here we go. Yeah. So, we need more of those.
Okay. I have an idea of how to fix this. I know exactly what to do to fix this.
To fix our count problem.
I just figured it out.
Okay.
I'm just going to do it and then we'll talk about it next
week. Okay. Good. Surprise.
Yeah.
It's like Christmas. And, so Wavelake, they've now become a destination. And right. I think that's a shame. We're the only, the syndication out is really at this point to us, and then people get it from us. And I think I have high hopes for PodFans, to start creating communities around an artist based upon
Wavelake's building an app, though.
The app they have?
Yeah. Like they're an app. Yeah. I mean, they're an app and a host too. I mean, it's sort of like Dystopia. Dystopia is that way too. They're an app and a host.
Well, if you're going to be an app, then, you're missing a lot of features.
Well, I think they're just turning the corner because, they had to pivot. That's the wrong way to say it. It's not pivot. That's not what I mean. But like they started with one idea and then they moved into RSS. So I think they're still trying to catch up with things and run. I see their strategy. And I'm hopeful for what they're doing. I think it makes some sense for them. I'm just real careful about us becoming an accidental destination
I'm with you. That's why I'm like, let's not spend another second on that page.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is. And I just want to encourage app developers to ingest the data, do something creative with it, give us ideas. What endpoints do you want? What do you need? You know, sift and shift and do whatever to have this make sift and shift. That's a show title. To have, you know, to make it make sense out of it. I mean, it's, I think we all fall into this very easily, ourselves included, without even thinking about it. We are not, and this is like going back to the very early days. You guys need to market podcasting 2.0. No, we suck. We're not going to do that. We're not, we're not going to market. We're not going to build an app. We're not going to build a destination. We actually tried it and we could never like it. You know, here's your three paths. No, it's all there. Anybody can do this. I would love nothing more than someone else to come up with, you know, the definitive podcasting 2.0 homepage. Mm-hmm. You know, here's what you do, or here's where you go. You know, that's, we're a technology club.
A club. It's that thing. We're the thing that other people use to do the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Free.
Yes. Free. I think so. On another, let's see. The other issue here is DJ shows. I don't know what to call these things.
I call it
like Booster Graham Ball. What do you call it?
I call it a value for value music podcast.
Okay. So value for value music podcasts, they need their own chart, right? Because you want to discover those too.
Okay. Well, you know, well, this is what I've been crying for. And I think it's probably already all there. Maybe it's not, but I would. Okay, so how about Ellen Beats? I'm just going to use Ellen Beats because this is Stephen B is making apps. He makes a million apps a second while he's wiring up apartment buildings. I don't understand it, you know. Yes, and he has a family. Yes. I think that they haven't divorced him yet.
It's a fake family.
Really. It's not really. It's like those. He's in the HOV lane with blow up dolls. He's not really. He doesn't really have a family. So I would Ellen Beats. Here's what I would love to see in Ellen Beats. I play a song, and there. Let me open it. Let me just open up Ellen Beats right now. Okay. The PWA, which works great. Okay. Yes. So now I go to Curtis Drums and there's Call Me Medley. Right. Okay. Wow. That's so, so sexy responsive. So here I have the album art. I've got share. I can heart that. I can boost it. And it should say, as heard on Booster Graham Ball. Mm. Mm-hmm. That data is out there. And then you should be able to click on Boost to Graham Ball. And there I should be able to see what other songs that episode of Boost to Graham Ball has played. All this data is there.
It's when you say there, where is,
okay.
So where is there?
Okay. So it was, so Kurt, however we figure out Boost to Graham Ball played Call Me Medley on these episodes. Uh-huh. Or maybe it just says, as played on Booster Graham Ball. I click on that and it says, played in these episodes. I click on that and it says, other songs played in this episode, which is all available from the feed from the remote items. Now you've got discovery.
And you're talking about NLN, but this would be in LNBs such.
Or Podverse like or Fountain or wherever. And now you're not only discovering music, you're discovering other podcasts.
But how does he get that information?
From the feed.
Oh.
Remote items. Magic wallet switching technology. That's
right. Yes. So he's going to be scanning. Okay. Cause I was thinking that this was stuff that we would have to provide but you're saying this is already in the feed. So he can, the apps can just look at these feeds.
I would hope so.
They can make, aha.
Aha! Okay. Explain how we do it now, because I just made that up and you're like, aha. So I figured Dave, this is usually how it goes. Hey, Dave, I got this great idea. Like, oh yeah, I can make that work. I'll build it. I'll be back tomorrow. But now we have to let other people do that.
No, you left out a step. I usually like, no, you can't do that. And then like, yeah, wait, we can do that.
Well, I actually had a dream the other night, because you said to me on the last show, when we're done with all this, we're going to come back to SOPML. And I had a dream about it, man. That was weird. It was weird. And we will come back to, I know we're going to be like, I'll be like with my walker. Hey, SOPML, dude.
Say, is that website still up? Is
that freedom controller thing still working?
It'll still be running 10 years from now. It will.
All right. So explain how we do this. So you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I understand what you're saying. And so the data for the time, basically the apps would do what we do to build the chart. Mm-hmm. It would just return, you know, back out of the data. And so it's a big topic.
Well, now let me ask this. In the, can we make an endpoint available that if an app says Nate Jonovan, time, 169 boosts, can you now figure out from that what shows boosted it? Do we provide that data? Is that something we can easily provide? Should we be providing it?
I don't know the answer to any of the, I know the answer to some of those questions, not all of them. Okay. Should we provide it? I had no idea. I mean, can we provide it? Yes, but with a lot of work. So here's the issue. So there's back in the background of Podcast Index in the back office, you have the API, which consists of the database and the front end server, web servers that accept the API request. Then you have a separate server called PiPal, PiPal. That is the server name. And it pulls the Podcast Index Lightning node once a minute to get
boost info.
Pulls in all of the LND transactions, parses out the TLVs, sticks them in a data in its own database. Now that was only meant for
it's a kludge.
I would normally fess up and immediately say yes. If you ever accuse me of a kludge, I normally cop to that immediately. In this circumstance, I will say that this is actually not a kludge.
Okay.
This was because the intent of the PiPal server was for two things. It was for our internal accounting, so we could report Lightning donations to the IRS, and so that we could store them all to be able to pull boosts out to read on the show. So it was basically just a internal accounting system for us. And immediate. so then we. Of course, as normal, as all these things do, it began to do more than what it was.
It became an important production item.
Yes, exactly. And so now what happened was this thing grew, and now it hosts, it's generating the chart because it's got all the LND data.
Right. This is clearly not a great way to do what we're talking about through TLVs. So
if we were to we can't easily make this available in the API because it's not even the data. It's not even in the main database. It's in a whole other different database.
No, so I understand.
To ship this back to the main database in order to be able to even serve it, you know?
Okay. So Stephen B posted something in the chat. And by the way, after this show, Alex Gates will figure it all out and tell us what to do. But
no, he's yelling at his screen right now.
He's going live. He's going live. So he can bitch at her head about it.
Yeah.
So Stephen B says, can the API return feeds that have a specific remote item? in it? And I'm sure the answer right now is no, but is that something? Because I know that in order to help apps like Castomatic, we discussed storing the remote item data. Is that something that would be possible? Or is that like a huge lookup that we're not qualified to do or big enough to do?
No, but yes.
Okay. And that concludes our broadcast day.
not at the moment, but definitely it's definitely on the roadmap, because I was just about to put remote item support into the API, mm-hmm. and then we halted and did the chart. So,
well, this is good, because this is how we come. This is our iteration. Okay. Look, can I just step back for 1 second, get our heads out of the technology and explain why I think this is important? Because I'm sure there are people yelling at, like, how come we're not talking about the pinning episodes tag?
I know why we're not talking about that, but yes.
This is the opportunity we have here as a group to create an entire, we've already started. We've created a new category of podcasts, which for almost 20 years has not existed. We are igniting. Artists are on fire. They're igniting and they're very, very, very excited. I know this because this is what I do. I feel what's happening. I feel what people are sending me. The excitement is there. People are curious what's happening. There's stuff going on. There's a new kid in town, and that new kid has one leg and three fingers, and that's us. And we're trying to figure this out. But the beauty of turning what we're talking about here into a discovery mechanism. And by the way, it doesn't just have to be V4V music podcast. I mean, think about someone hearing a J-Dog song or seeing a J-Dog song and saying, hey, I like this. And then winding up at podcasting 2.0 because we played J-Dog. Mm-hmm. That's real discovery. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, I totally imagine, you know, if you listen to the radio, people play a song, even NPR. You know, it's like, we're going to play a song. You know, it's not like all top 40 Adam Curry Boosta Graham Ball stuff. Tina and I would like to play a song in our show. Just a song. And let's say that's, Ben Dorfel. And someone hears that and it's like, oh, what other podcast? Or it's a connector. We can connect podcasts and even people at a certain point to each other and artists to each other through this mechanism. And the category, I said this a couple shows ago, I'm going to supercharge the hosting business. People will be banging a path to your door to be able to play music in their podcast, to be able to have music that can be played in podcasts. It's something that has never, it's blue sky. It's completely open. And we can do it. No one else can do this. And the content is there. And so we will grow podcasting with leaps and bounds by figuring this out.
So let me drive it back in. Let me drive it back into tech for a second.
Please.
I don't think we have the time for this in this board meeting, but I think
we need an offsite. We need an offsite.
An offsite. Yes.
Yeah. We need to do an offsite
with pastries. Yes.
And a barbecue. Yes.
And a barbecue. Yes. Okay. And we'll bring in a motivational speaker. In the next board meeting, 100%. We need to discuss categories.
Yes,
because that maps
right to this. I'm with you.
But it's more than that, though, because I'm still banging my head against the wall of this issue. And if people may think it may sound myopic to be focusing this, like we're focusing a lot on music now, like right in it a lot recently in the boardroom. But the issue is all of these things, it goes back to what you just said. This is a new category of podcast, which has never been, it's never been possible to, it has never been possible to define a new category of podcast.
Because of the Medium tag.
Because of Alex's Medium tag made that possible. Now we have the ability to define, we have the language and the schema to define a new type of content riding on top of the podcast delivery network. And so all of these things that we're discussing about, here's a problem and we need to fix this in music. Here's all of these things that right now we're discussing them within the framework of the music medium.
Right.
But
right,
they will map all of these same issues will have to be sorted out for every other type of medium that we go down. So this is an easy
way to start figuring out the plumbing so that it maps to books, movies, documentaries, porn. Oops, did I say that?
But hey, what? Blogs,
yeah.
Yeah, that's what you meant to say. The
And you know what comes into play? SOPML before you know it.
And we're right back to the social opinion. But you know, this is a language and a syntax for a new defined content. And if right now it's within the framework of music, but this is a mad laboratory,
right?
For all the things that come next, and it, you know, so that's a long way around to say bothering me is the fact that we can't define Boostergram Ball in a way that I can find it in the index. Because what I want to do, what I want to be able to do is to say, is to find a list of all value for value music podcasts. Because I know what they are. I know it's Boostergram Ball. It's a Mood, Lightning Thrashes, Power. What's the Power Music Hour? I know the list, but there's no, I can't tell the index to give me the list or an app to give me the list.
Okay. Can I give it a try?
Sure.
You can find Boostergram Ball by saying podcast that has remote items that equal medium equals music.
Which will also bring back this show.
Yes.
But this show and Boostergram Ball are just fundamentally different types of shows.
Okay.
And I don't, you know, like, I'm sorry, Cotton Gin, you're at Homegrown Hits. That's another one.
So, hey, man, talk about my show.
Give me props. We've mentioned possibly another music medium, but I don't want to clog those works up. But I don't know if that's appropriate. It may be the combination. What may solve this problem is the combination of a medium and a category brought together. I don't know.
Right.
So like if we define a radio medium, which has been proposed, Alex proposed that. If we define the radio medium, or showcase or whatever you want to call it. If we define that medium and then we bring in, because we here, all right, I think I'm figuring this out as we go. So what things are changes based on the medium. So if the medium is, and we know this, if the medium is podcast, then the transcript is a transcript of the words that right. were spoken on the show.
Right.
If the medium is music, the transcript is now lyrics.
Yes.
We know that these things change based on the medium. The medium controls, it drives the what the other things downstream from it mean. Right. So within music, categories become genres. And so in there could be a way in which.
So for instance, if I can just butt in,
yeah,
medium equals music interview show.
Or medium equals radio music, a category. So it's a radio show. It's a music radio show.
Yeah, I don't like that, but it doesn't matter. I understand what you're saying.
You get the gist.
Yeah, like, yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course.
I mean that. I think we got to have the category discussion. This may be the next bacon we have to fry.
Is this a GitHub issue that we open to take submissions, or is this something that we just go all Idi Amin and just create it? Tell everybody to shut up.
I don't think we do that. No, we do not do the Israeli method of this.
The Mossad medium.
Yes, no, this is not the right way to do this. So there are category discussions that have been long buried in the GitHub that need to be resurrected so that we can start afresh.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's where we have to travel next.
Well, then let's travel there. Let's not even do anything else, because it seems like we need that before we can get to this discovery journey that I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
It's already. Yeah, I think so, because it's already becoming an issue because CSB is like, I don't listen to that crap. I just listen to
trance.
And so I can't listen to value for value music. Well, there's probably some trance out there, but he can't find it because we don't have categories that allow for that.
Right, but that's very specific. I mean,
people have it. A lot of people are like, I don't listen to anything but this.
No, I know. I'm just saying. Now you're going into, because I may play a trance song.
You may.
And I would like CSB to be able to find the episode where I play a trance song. How does that sound?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, my head hurts.
Yeah. It's 9:43 at night. We know this is too intense.
Let's thank some people. Should we thank some people? Because we've done a lot today. And in this special board meeting. And we are the only board meeting that operates out of office hours. I want everyone to be aware of that.
That's right.
And we appreciate everyone showing up. It's not a nice showing. We have a quorum. I've been in too many board meetings. It's clear. Here we go. A couple of boostergrams that came in while we're doing the show live. Sir Libra, 33,333. Great to hear the opening of Lightning Thrashes on the last episode. Episode 4 is out now, featuring Dame Jennifer. Tell all your friends, lightningthrashes.com. That's an ad.
I just got it. I just got that drop in my podcast app.
Oh, you did? Oh,
got
cool.
It queued up.
Oh, I'm gonna have to listen to it.
I'm two behind. I haven't even listened to Lightning Thrashes 3 yet. So I've already got 4.
Row of Ducks from the Mere Mortals podcast with duck emojis, no less, which is nice. I'll make a pitch for V4V. Come check out the Value for Value show. Another ad. Another 2222 from Mere Mortals podcast. Live boosting for earlier episodes. Let's make this a thing. Think of the hashtag, think of the Australians. Oh, it's right, because it's a different. He's like, hey, I can finally listen to it live. Oh, I got
he's
you.
He's time shifting.
That's right. Eric PP, 33,333. Thank you, brother. I can finally listen live. There he is. That must have been Kyron, although it doesn't say Kyron. It came in on Podverse, Row of Ducks, 2222. There's Stephen B, 15,000. To Dovidas. Boostergram, perhaps the church or band could use. So I love this. We got people boosting. So we got Dovi. I'll just do this in sequence. Dovidas, 15,000 sats. I'll remind you what he said. Talk to a church that does a prayer podcast. Even V4V is difficult because you need to ask for value, which may ruin the experience, similar to RSS music. We need ways to ask for value outside the episodes themselves. Stephen B. replies. Oh, God, I love this. 15,000 sats. Adobe DOS, Boostagram. Perhaps the church or band could use chapters to request value for value. Replace the art with a really cool chapter or requesting a boost of support. We don't use that enough. The chapters. There's a lot of cool stuff you can do with chapters. Dreb Scott, he's up and about. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Boom.
He says, a little boost McBoost. Boost the McBoost for y'all. Boost, 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 boost.
Baller. Shot caller. 20-inch blades on the Impala.
It's only 7:45 in California.
And that's what we got. Oh, we got another Dreb Scott, 1, 2, 3, 4. You might have been testing. Thank y'all for those boosts. Shall we go through our boostograms while we're at it so we can...
Yeah, I could,
you have the this, and I'll just remind everybody: this is a value for value podcast. This is where, in our church here, we ask you to support us.
We do.
We're not bashful at all.
Tom, Tell, and Trez are just exactly like you'd hear from the pulpit.
Exactly. That's right. Exactly.
I want to say that I have not had time to look to dig into. So Sam Sethi has been boosting us from Pod Fans.
And it's still not showing up in my helipad.
So it's not showing up. So I have to figure out what is going on. So I got to dig those up. They may come through in the boosts.
Maybe they come through in the streams.
They may come through in the boosts. I'm going to read in a minute, but if they don't, I just want to, I have not forgotten, Sam. I will. I'm going to find those.
I'm going to tell you what it is though. I'm going to tell you what it is, what he's doing. He's either putting Boostagram instead of Boost, or he's putting Boost with a capital B. Somehow I have a feeling that that's why it's not showing up in Helipad. Is that even possible, what I'm saying here?
It's very possible. So I know why it's not working in Helipad is because we haven't made the adjustment to it. So this is a good time to say thank you very much to Eric PP.
Yes, indeed.
He has done the Lord's work, but on Eric, on Helipad, he's been adding features to it while I've been tied up with lots of other things, and he's getting really good with that code base. But the thing he did the other day, which is very helpful, is he made a GitHub action that will automatically compile Helipad. It'll cross compile it for different architectures for ARM64 and for X64.
Oh.
And push it. So whenever somebody commits to the main branch in Helipad, it now automatically builds a Docker image and pushes it to Docker Hub so that you can pull down and have the latest code immediately.
Nice.
And that's we tested it out the other day. Works perfectly.
Cool.
This is, I just really appreciate what he's doing. Very, very big deal. Let's see. We got, Buzzsprout, $500.
Well, right off the bat.
Baller. Yep. Shot caller. 20-inch blades on the Impala.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Came in after hours on a special courier, just in time for the show. Let's see. Thank you guys, Kevin and Tom. Appreciate that.
Very much.
Let's see. We got some boosts, boostograms. We got 333 sats from Gene Everett. It says live boost test. We got you. We got you, Gene.
Yep. Sure do.
Let's see. Okay. So here's Pod Fans. Here's Sam listening. So this may be coming through, right? So what I did was I made the adjustments to their TLVs
on our end
on the PiPal server we could do it right. So we just need to make
that work in Helipad.
Sir Truck Driver gave us 3333 through Fountain. He says, first time list, also new to boosting. Enjoy and thank you for your courage in the morning.
Go podcasting. Oops, sorry, I just hit that. By accident I hit that button. It works.
Hey, new booster.
It works.
Let's see. Let me go through here. Yep, here's some more Pod Fans. So I'm having to sort of vet these in real time because in order to figure out the Pod Fans thing, it's not doing any filtering. It's just giving me the whole shebang. So there's a lot of stuff coming through that normally wouldn't be coming through. So I'm kind of going through this in real time. Let's see.
Should I sing a little song?
Play an instrument. About boostergrams. Let's see. Oh, love that Mandelbrot track. Thank you for your courage. That's from Future Sir Tosh.
Oh.
Through Fountain. Thank you, Future Sir Tosh. He sent us 167 sats out of 3,333 went to Mandelbrot. That
went to Mandelbrot. Yes.
Gene Bean, 111 out of 2,222 through Castomatic, and that went to Eyes.
Yeah, that's also Mandelbrot.
This is a really... It's really cool seeing all the TLVs come together because you can see what portion went to us. And it's like, it'll say this of this, you know, like 111 out of 2,222.
Nice. Yeah. So I mean, I'm in the new helipad, I'm seeing some of that, but also, I mean, so what I'm seeing now, for instance, from Fountain, I'm seeing Boostergram Ball episode 9, and then in parens, when it's over. So that was the track, and I can click on the timestamp, and then I get the whole TLV record opens right up, which is kind of cool. Mm.
That is, yeah, that, see, 2222 Kyron from Mere Mortals Podcast, The Fountain. He says, I pay a fixed cost for Blueberry and they also take a 3% split. I'm totally fine with that. Ask for more, Dovidas.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd be amazed. You'd be amazed when you think people won't pay for something. If it's valuable and you kind of leave that open, they do.
Lehman Creations, that's our buddy Andy Lehman. He sent us 1,000 sats through Castomatic. He says, I asked Blueberry about C names for Podcast Mirror and they don't do it, but that would be awesome.
Oh, well,
they may put it on the roadmap then.
Yeah, I'm thinking they should. I mean, that's kind of Todd's thing. Get your own.com.
That's right. Lehman Andy comes in again with another 1,000 sats. He says, someone should create a V4V music playout system that hooks into all the music sites and automatically creates value time splits and has the ramp time so you can hit the post. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
What is ramp time? I don't understand.
So that's a term. So in my M Airless, which is my playout system, I can literally set a little yellow line. That's where the vocals start. And so the minute I hit play, it two counters start to run. One is the total time left, and one is the number of seconds left until that ramp is done. And then you hit the post, as we call it, which means the vocal start or some accent in the music where you want to dump out. That's very advanced, and we'll get there one day.
So that's something you mark. You mark that time.
Yeah, yeah.
Before you start the intro for the next song.
Yeah, that's a little bit down the road.
Let's see, Sir Alex Gates. Oh, hey, Sir Alex. 1111 Satchel Richard through Podverse. He says, "No, he's throwing some Noster hate." So Noster is literally just a shitty and unreliable pub sub system. There is no fixing it without adding centralization. This is coming from a system architect who does this for a living. He does. My disdain for it comes from this. It will not scale for its intended purpose. Please lower your expectations for future use. At public service announcement, lower your expectations.
Lower them.
Yes. Thank you, Alex. Source D. 1701 Star Trek Boost. He says, Podverse. He says, Adam, no, V for V is value for value. Don't bring OnlyFans into it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. What was I thinking? I know that was not smart.
John's BRT, 1667 sats out of 33,333. That's for a song that I cannot tell because all I have is goods, but I'm sure it was excellent. Shredward, 3333 through Podverse. No note. Let's see. We got some more. There's some more pod fans. Oh, some quack sent us through 111 through Fountain. He just says, thanks.
Well, thanks. Thanks.
Gene Everett, 2222. He says, boost. Boost. Sir Sean of the Allegheny Valley, 1128 sats through Castomatic. No note. Thank you, Sir Sean. He's got quite a string of these, all different amounts. 1009, 1065, 1010, 1045.
Why not? Yeah, go crazy.
Wow, he's killing it. Thank you, Sir Sean. Crazy, I don't know how much that added up to.
Go crazy. Yeah, nice.
Oh, Lord. F-35 jump around remix starting at that guy's scream. He's got a link. I don't know. It's a YouTube link. I don't know if I can play that. You can't hear my stuff, so it doesn't.
Oh, we got to fix that.
Yeah.
We got to fix it. You need to be able to play clips, man.
I'm going to try moving it over to rearrange it over to the Mac when I get a chance. Let's see. What we got 1033 Aqualith through Fountain. He says, awesome conversation, Dave. I get your frustration over the BTC bros out there. They grew tiring. I'd also include that a bunch of BTC maxis as well. Presuming all other coins out there are shitcoin is toxic, doing the entire blockchain movement a huge disservice. There are some incredibly underrated projects out there bubbling to the surface that can work alongside, not against, the Lightning Network. Love the show, guys. In the morning.
In the morning to you.
500 sats through from Amorphous Continuum. Wow, that's a name. Through Fountain, he says, that, sir, is amazingly effing useful. Thank you. Okay. Oh, you're welcome. Let's see. Let's jump through here. This it's funny. I see so much pod fans in here.
Oh yeah, but you see all the streams as well. Is that what you're seeing?
Uh-huh.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because when I turned off the filter to show everything, it's just like
you get a lot coming in because it's all the minute by minute stuff.
Uh-huh. And then you see, but it's all different users. It's not just Sam.
No, it's everybody.
Yeah, so you see that's the beauty of it. Yeah,
a lot of stuff.
You see that you really get a appreciation for the usage going on over there. It's great. Okay. 333 from Anonymous. Great song. And we got, did you do Mike Newman boosting the podcasting 2.0 squad from somewhere sometime in the future? I like this ship. Go podcasting.
Go podcasting.
Oh, I'm sorry. What happened? Oh,
that was a Striper boost. 77777 through Fountain.
I'm completely messed up here. Let me see. Well, I should at least do the Striper boost.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here we go. And then this.
Go there podcasting!
We go. I got it.
You doubled up.
Took me a minute.
And we got Comic Strip Blogger 33015, the Delimiter through Fountain. He says, howdy, Dave and Adam. Please invite your listeners to visit my blog at www.csb.lol for my cartoons about everything and to give me ideas for cartoons to draw via Twitter/X at CSB. Just three letters, C, S, and B. Yo.
CSB. Yo, yo, yo.
I was going for more of a, like, a Twilight Zone type of presentation there.
Imagine a world.
what's his name?
Rod Sterling, yes. Oh, man, not bad for 958.
Serling or Sterling?
Could be Sterling.
Sterling.
Could be Sterling. Sterling, and whatever.
Yeah, we got some monthlies. We got Jordan Dunville, $10. Thank you, Jordan. Cameron Rose, $25. Cameron, been around a long time. Thank you, man. Dreb Scott, $15. Michael Kimmerer, $5.33. A magic number. And Pedro Goncalves, $5. Thank you, guys.
Thank you all so much. Value for Value is the name of the game. It's what we play. It's how we keep everything running for this podcast, for the boardroom, but of course for all the servers. You keep everything running, keeping it available for all in the Podcasting 2.0 community. Podcastindex.org at the bottom. Two red buttons. Oh, you know what? I should probably check the tally coin. You know, that's probably where Dreb Scott's been hanging out. One of them is for your PayPal. That's your fiat fund coupons. Or you can go to, he didn't add it. Okay, good. Or you can go to the other one for an on-chain donation, which people begged us for. And the only person doing it is Dreb Scott. what we really want you to do, though, is go to podcastapps.com, get a brand new modern podcast app and boost us. Give us a boost to Graham so we know what's going on, what's on your mind. And so you can respond to other people. It's a beautiful system. Thank you all so much, especially our hosting companies who are always really, really generous. We appreciate it. Thank you so much. But nothing is unappreciated. We love it all.
For sure.
All right. So we have homework. Homework is we all think about categories. Mm-hmm. And I guess we're going to resurrect something on the GitHub.
I'm going to go digging. Yes.
Okay.
Find the old stuff. It's 10 o'clock. I think we nailed it.
I think we nailed it. Thank you, chat room. We really, really, no tally-ho for me tonight, says Dreb. It's okay, Dreb. It's okay. It's fine. Go to sleep. Thank you all very much for being here for this special board meeting. We will not be releasing it until tomorrow. So if you were here, then you got in early. No one else gets it. And we'll release it tomorrow. I'll release it before I leave. So it will be tomorrow morning. And have yourselves a great weekend. Dave, brother, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate you changing your schedule for this as well.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Have a safe trip to Houston. I hope you have a good time. I expect a full report.
Full report. That's right. We'll have it in the meeting minutes. Yes, indeed. All right, everybody. Thank you very much for being here for the board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. We'll be back next Friday, and we'll do it all over again. See you then.
Podcasts are cool.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
Put it in the socket, baby.